just a small boy in Winchester, Ontario, when one day two fine singers from the USA came to our home and asked my mother to play for them while they sang a song they said was new, The Old Rugged Cross. I stood transfixed near the piano and watched their faces as they described in this tender song the suffering of the Lord. At a later time, I came to know the wonder of God's forgiveness. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to top Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Welcome to Spring Valley Bible Church in Dallas, Texas. I'm Herman Maddox, the pastor. I've been studying and teaching the Word for close to 46 years now. We're going to have the second half of our study on the Resurrection Sunday, but you're really tuning in to our worship of our regular church. So I have a few things I need to take care of. First of all, prayer. Now, we've been in prayer for Nick Daig. Now, I just talked to Chris, his dad, and Nick is doing very good. He had some very good days. He went to the doctor Wednesday, got some new prescription, and just doing really, really good. Continue to be in prayer for Nick. People, he's vulnerable. His immune system is vulnerable. So please be in prayer. So let's continue being in prayer for Nick. Okay. Please be in prayer for Nick. He needs your prayers. His health. Be in prayer for Ben. His brother is home from A&M. Please be in prayer for all of our young people. I don't know if I've told you, but I know I have. I know I have three people listening, but I have 45 young people whose faces just sit looking at me, smiling. Beautiful faces, beautiful young ladies, handsome young men, smiling up there. And they just keep on smiling. And I accept that as approval of what's being sought. I don't know, but that's what I accepted. And it's so wonderful having 45 faces looking at me, plus the three here. So please be in prayer for the young people. They had to cancel Slam Camp. But we're going to pray, people, that summer camp will be able to be had. That things will clear up through May, so that June they can come together, fellowship together, worship God together, grow in the Word together. So please be in prayer for the young people. be in prayer for summer camp, please. Now, as I said, this is our assembly. It's a worship. And every now and then, I get some information, and I like to share it. And I've got a secret. Yesterday was Phil McMillan's birthday. Now, I'm sorry Phil's not here. We can't sing happy birthday to him. We can't kid him. We can't consider his age and let him be the first one out. But it's happy birthday, Phil McMillan. Now, offering has always been the opportunity of believers in the Old Testament, in the Nation of Israel, and in the church age. All kinds of things have been done with the offertory, but now we're in a little strain. And I know, I'm not under any disillusion, some of you are stressed for money, and I know that. But if you can, save a few shekels, give to the church. We have our rent to pay. We have the internet to pay. We need to buy a new microphone. Just things like this that need to be taken care of. So if you're so motivated, you can send the money to Spring Valley Bible Church, Post Office Box 833-007. 833-007. Richardson, Texas, 75083. 75083. Or you can pay by PayPal. So whichever way you'd like to do that is fine. Now, getting ready to open the Word of God. The most dangerous thing you'll do. You want to be sure you're filled with the Spirit? How are you filled with the Spirit? By simple faith. Trusting the Holy Spirit to open your soul to the truth of the Word of God. So let's spend a moment in prayer, preparing ourselves for the second half of our resurrection study. Heavenly Father, we rejoice at this time of the year. Because as a body of Christ throughout the world, we pause and give thanks for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We praise you, Father, for your marvelous plan that makes it possible for us to have eternal relationship with you. Pray that your Spirit will cause us to see and understand issues that we're going to look at now from your word. Pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Now, we're looking at some questions this Resurrection Sunday. The first question, how much does God love you? And we're looking at John 3:16. So let's take the word of God. Open the Word of God to John chapter 3, verse 16. Familiar verse. We are looking at it from the teaching and the order of the Greek, the original text, which says, in this manner, indeed, loved the God, the world, that his only begotten Son he gave. That took us to a study of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the two deaths of Christ on the cross. And we read Isaiah 53. But there's one more essential to how much God loved us, people. One more essential. And that is, after dying spiritually and then physically on the cross, dying physically, taken off the cross, and buried. A stone rolled over his grave, and he was buried 3 days and three nights. And then God performed the miracle, raised him from the dead, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, you may protest. No, that was for Jesus Christ. Not for me. No, people. The resurrection of Christ was for you. Now, with that in mind, let's look at 1 Corinthians. Where's 1 Corinthians? Look at your table of content. You go from Romans, 1 to 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, let's read together verse 13. I want you to understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How important is that to you? How much does God love you? We saw that He loves you enough to send His Son to the cross. But He loves you that He raised His Son from the dead. Why is that for us? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13. But, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. So if God doesn't raise Him from the dead, our faith is in vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God. False witnesses. Because we testify against God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise. If in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ is raised, has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, look at it, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. Then those who also who have fallen asleep, that's who have died before us, our parents, grandparents, maybe parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, so forth, people that we love in history. I love Whitaker Chambers. Can't wait to see him in heaven. My mother. So, those who have already fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life, we are of all men most to be pitied. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, people, we're to be pitied. I hope you see it. No resurrection, you're still in your sins. Let's look at Romans chapter 4. It's the book before 1 Corinthians. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Romans 4, 25. He who was delivered over, crucified, because of our transgressions, being judged for the sins of the world, and was raised because of our justification. Because of our justification. If no resurrection, no justification. It's important to every believer in Jesus Christ. Three absolutes about the resurrection. There are so many ways we could study the resurrection. Over the 45 years in the ministry, I've studied most of them. We can study the actual verses that deal with it. Mary coming to the grave, then John and Peter, so forth. Look at it from the standpoint of the angels, shepherds, all kinds of things. But let's look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ because of our justification. So I'm going to give you some summary points here so you can think your way through. Resurrection of Jesus Christ because of our justification. A, the expiation. Oh, what does that word mean? Expiation. I don't know what that word means. That means making friends out of enemies. The expiation of our trespasses, taking them out of the way. Iniquities, sins that we studied in Isaiah 53 a few months ago.
That is reparation, payment for sins, was accomplished by the spiritual death of Jesus Christ on the cross. So God forgave all sins based on what happened on the cross. And God the Father is now free to impute His own righteousness to anyone who believes in Jesus Christ and pronounce them justified. The condemnation of mankind was now annulled. Secondly, B, please understand that no one is in the eternal lake of fire because of sins. No one. Not Hitler, no one, because of sins. This is why Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was delivered up. God gave him. He was delivered up to the suffering of the cross by God the Father because of our sins. Who put Christ on the cross? A lot of people like to say the Jews did. Those anti-Jew, those anti-Semitic people, Jews. A wise person says, well, it was the Romans, Gentiles. One who knows the Bible, it was God. For you, that's how much He loved you. That's how much He loved you. All unbelievers stand at the great white throne judgment, not because of their sins, but because they were not benefited by the love of Christ. We're going to study that in a moment. Are you benefited by His love? And then three, had He not risen from the dead, then justification is useless. There's no resurrection, so big deal. Three or four. But since He rose from the dead, we can all look forward to our own resurrection in a resurrected body just like His. People, that's the wonders. When I do a funeral service at the graveside, I say it's a place of victory. Because one morning, afternoon, whenever, one day, every dead person in the ground who is a believer will be raised up. Their soul will come down from heaven, meet their body, and then we will join them, we'll all take up, and we'll meet the Lord in the air. Resurrection for eternal life. Next, five, His resurrection is not part of our justification. It is proof of our justification, theologically. Justification was provided on the cross, the suffering of Christ. But resurrection is a necessary effect of our justification. If there's no life, then there's no justification. It's useless. See? We remain dead in sin. The very fact of the resurrection, people, shows that justification has been paid in full. That's how much God loves you. He raised His Son up for you, for me. That's how much He loves Him. Only He can raise the dead. And only He can take away the sins. See, and only He can take away the sting of death. I'm very heartbroken with coronavirus. I read how many people have died in the world. How many people have died in the United States. How many people have died in Texas. Mothers, fathers, children, husbands, wives. They're dead. In New York, they've got so many corpse bodies. They just put them in a freezer. Till all this is over. It's not nice. But people, I hope you understand. Death is a gain of Christ. We get to Christ. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, die is gain. Yes, we sorrow. We sorrow. But not as the unbeliever does. In our sorrow is that hope, that confidence, that joy, that I will see this person, if they're believers, I will see them again and be with them forever. That's the comfort of the resurrection. That's how much God loves you, raising His Son from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a demonstration of the sovereign power of God. To the believer, the resurrection is the belief in God Himself. This is another point where we begin to realize our hopelessness. We have no power to raise ourselves when we're dead. We put our confidence, our hope, our faith, God will raise me up and I will be with Him forever and ever. If He does not have the power to resurrect the dead, He's not worthy of our faith. He's not worthy to be God. Millions of people worship false gods. Millions of people worship Allah, the Hindu gods, the Mormon god. All these gods, they can't raise from the dead. Only one God can raise from the dead. Our God, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He can raise from the dead. He can raise from the dead. He can take away the sting of death by raising from the dead. All three members of the Godhead had a part in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God the Father, Colossians 2:12, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, 1 Peter 1:21, Galatians 1:1. God the Holy Spirit, Romans 1:4, 1 Peter 3:18, and Jesus Christ Himself, John 10:11 through 18. So all three members of the Godhead love you so much they raise Christ from the dead. And people, there's our hope, our confidence when someone we love dies. Resurrection is part of the gospel. Resurrection is part of the gospel. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You can find Romans. Next book is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Wonderful chapter. There's so many different ways you can study these things. I talked to my good friend John Hintz yesterday and he said, this is such a dilemma. He said, I really hate these special days, Christmas, Resurrection Sunday. We get 1 hour, I'm sneaking in too, to talk about something that takes months, if not years. And I agree. This is just one way we look at it. So look at 1 Corinthians 15. The whole chapter 15 is a resurrection study. It takes hours. Let's look at verse 1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel, the good news, which I preached to you, which also you received by grace through faith, in which also you sinned. Verse 2. And by which also you were saved, if you hold fast. How do we hold fast? By faith. The word, the gospel, which I preached to you, unless you received it in vain. How do you receive the gospel in vain? Where it's no benefit to you. In a moment we're going to emphasize, are you benefited by God's love? I'll just tell you right now, the only way you're going to be benefited by God's love, by faith. Believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you refuse to do that, you're not benefited by His death and His resurrection. Verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance the gospel, what I also received from Christ. That one, Christ died for our sins, spiritual death, according to the scriptures, Old Testament, Isaiah 53, for example. Verse 4. And that two, He was buried. And three, he was raised on the third day according to Scripture. What do we mean when we say, believe in Jesus Christ? Believe that He died on the cross, bearing the judgment of the sins of the world, was buried, and in 3 days and three nights later, rose from the grave, conquering death. Assurance of our resurrection. People, outside of the rapture, we're all going to die. You know that old saying, taxes and death. We're going to die. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you benefited by the love of God? The third and final thing I want to look at, if no resurrection, we're to be pitied. We're to be pitied. Six disasters. Let's look at them. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul lists six disasters that would destroy the Christian faith if the resurrection never occurred. One, let's take a look at them, because I want you to see if there's no resurrection, how important is resurrection? So we're going to look at six disasters if God did not raise him from the dead. First, proclaiming the gospel would be useless. Verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. I don't know about you, but I love to tell people about Christ, His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, and spending eternity with Him. I get really excited if someone says, I believe that. But if there is no resurrection, it's useless. Secondly, faith in Jesus Christ would be useless. Proclaiming the gospel would be useless, but faith would be useless. Verse 14, your faith is also useless. Third thing that would be useless if there's no resurrection, all the witnesses and teachers of the resurrection would be liars. Liars. Look at verse 15. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses, liars of God, because we witness against God, saying that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if there is no resurrection. So it'd be liars, all the witnesses, Old Testament, New Testament, today. The fourth disaster, if no resurrection, no one would be redeemed from their sins. Verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. That's how vital the resurrection of Jesus Christ is. The fifth disaster, all those who had believed in Christ have perished. That would hurt my soul. My dear old grandfather, he built the church that I grew up in as a child. He was a builder. He built homes and churches in Houston. He built the church. He loved the Lord. He taught me about the Lord. He taught me things from the Bible. I can't wait to see that old man. Wonderful guy. He will perish if there's no resurrection. So will your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, people you love, if there's no resurrection. Thank God that He loved you enough to raise His Son from the dead. Sixth disaster, those who believe in Jesus Christ for everlasting life are to be the most pitied people on earth had Jesus Christ not been raised from the dead. Verse 19. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. If there is no resurrection, no eternal life, we're to be pitied. Be pitied. I don't know about you. I pity those who don't love freedom in this country. I pity them. Don't hate them, I pity them. Democrats who don't love America and want globalization. I pity them. People that want socialism, communism, over freedom. I pity them. But this is far worse. Far worse. Resurrection of Jesus Christ is necessary for the faithfulness of God. Where in Isaiah 53:10, He will crush, He will be pleased to crush Jesus to death, but also pleased to prolong His days. That's raise Him up, prolong His days through resurrection. Resurrection of Jesus Christ is a confidence of every believer in the future. Therefore, in living each day with no fear of death or fear of after death. Let me give you some verses you can read during this time. Romans 6:4, 1 Corinthians 6:14, Colossians 3:1-4. Christians are to be laughed at if there's no resurrection. For it is the assurance of the resurrection that Christ suffered for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15, the whole chapter. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. We suffer, even die, if necessary for Christ, as He suffered, because of the assurance of resurrection. I love to read about the martyrs throughout all church history. Some died this day and throughout history. But when I read those about who martyred, I just pray. I pray they were believers. I pray that they knew they had everlasting life. And some of them I know did. Some of them I know did. That was their dying word. Resurrection of Jesus Christ is also a pattern of our spiritual recovery from sin. See, as believers, we still sin. Mental attitude sins, sins of the tongue, like gossip, lying, cursing, things like that. Overt sins. We sin. We have a sin nature, an inherited sin nature. The ISN, inherited sin nature from Adam. We sin. Now, when you sin, you're back in darkness. You're just like you were when you were an unbeliever. Dead. Dead. See? You're dead. How you be made alive again? By faith. Not by works. Some people teach you got to repent, you got to confess, you got to do a lot of to come out of the unregenerate state, sinful state, into the filling of the Spirit. People, it's got to be by faith. By faith alone. It's got to be by faith. That's how we are filled with the Spirit. Okay. How much does God love you? Answer, so deeply that He sent His Son to die spiritually on the cross and then raised Him from the dead for justification. Now that takes care of the negative of the gospel. See, the gospel has two parts. A negative and a positive. Just because sins are taken care of does not mean you're saved. Every unbeliever who sins at the right, great white throne judgment will not be judged for their sins. Christ has already been judged. There's a positive side of the gospel, see? That's what we need to look at now. Positive side. Negative, take away sins. Positive side. Just because sins have been taken care of does not mean you're righteous. And it's mandatory that we be righteous to have fellowship with God. This brings us to our second question. Are you benefited by the love of God? First question, how much does God love you? We've seen that. He sent his son to the cross and raised him from the grave. Are you benefited by the love of God? The answer to this question is also found in a passage that we started in the early service, John 3:16. Let's open our precious Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. John 3:16. We're going to note, as it appears in the original text, emphasis. In this manner, indeed, the God loved the world, that the Son, the only begotten, he gave spiritual death on the cross and in physical. Now look at the next phrase. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The gospel has two parts, negative and a positive. I want you to understand that. See, the negative, taking away the sins of the world. He's done that for everyone. As I said before, no unbeliever will be judged for their sins. Not Hitler, not anyone. Not pedophiles, no one will be judged for their sins. Christ took care of them on the cross. Doesn't mean they're saved. Doesn't mean you're ready to be with God forever. There's a positive side. And the positive side is taken care of. The instant you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, God does 34 things for you. 34 things at the point of your salvation. And one of them is to impute you with His perfect righteousness. Wow! Now you're ready for fellowship. You now have His righteousness. See? Not many people talk about this part of the gospel. And if they do, it's not very long. Not very often. But people with the imputation of righteousness, without it, without that, there is no salvation. No taking away of the sins. There has to be benefited from it. Are you benefited from God's love for you? By that, do you believe in Jesus Christ? It's a two-part gospel. See? Two parts. Got to have sins taken care of and perfect righteousness. The positive is taken care of by God, not by you. You can't live it. It's not by how you live. It's by God who imparts to us perfect righteousness, imputes us, puts it into our account at the point we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, you understand, people, that God loves the world, but not everyone is benefited by His love. To benefit from His love, you have to respond to His love. And the only way we can respond to His love is by believing in His Son. That's all that we can do. Multitude of people will be in the eternal lake of fire and are loved by God, but not benefited by His love. Not benefited. I like to point out, many children, seems like especially today, are not benefited by the love of their parents. They rebel. Many men are not benefited by the love of their wives. They're too busy being distracted by other things. Many women are not benefited by the love of their husbands. They are distracted by too many other things. Are you benefited by love? People often say, I love everybody. I love homosexuals. I love the adulterer. What does that mean? What do you mean when you say you love these people? Are you saying you approve? Is that what you're saying? I hope not. I hope what you're saying is, I want to share with them the error of their way and the solution in Christ. That's what God does. God proclaimed we're sinners and then proclaimed the answer. That's His love. He saw a need and He met the need. But the issue is being benefited. People, you want to be benefited by love. You want to be benefited by your parents' love. You want to be benefited by your husband's love. You want to be benefited by your wife's love. You want to be benefited by God's love. I'm so sorry. Multitude of people are not benefited by the love of God and will spend all eternity separated from Him. The great issue in love is benefiting from that love. That someone says they love you. Can you be benefited by their love? Are you benefited by their love? There is only one way, only one way of being benefited by the love of God. Believing in His Son. Look at Ephesians, book of Ephesians, it's by Paul, written to the church of Ephesus. If you look in the New Testament, you got Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians. Ephesians, look it up in the table of content. Page number. Let's open Ephesians chapter 2. On a regular flow of Sunday morning, we're studying Ephesians. We're in chapter 1. But let's look at chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace, you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works. What is not of works? Being good, being moral, going to church, giving, whatever, singing, whatever. Not of works. So that no one may boast. The benefit of God's love is eternal, which refers to living eternally with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please note, the only condition for salvation, that is the only thing that man can do for salvation, is faith. Faith in the person of Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Not by repentance. You might be good, but you're not saved by that. Not by confession. Not by baptism. Not by ritual. Not by joining a church. One thing about closing down all the churches, God has taken away even that from a lot of people. Not going to be through a church. It's got to be by faith alone and Christ alone. No works of man can be added to the death, burial, resurrection, Jesus Christ. To add to faith is in reality blasphemy. You say He didn't do enough. His death wasn't enough. See? Faith is all that man needs to be benefited by the love of God. That's all. The teaching, preaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is always to be taught with the crucifixion. The crucifixion must always include a study of the resurrection. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to close with the last two questions. See, up to now we've taken two questions. How much does God love you? Answer, He sent His Son to die on a cross for you, and He raised Him from the dead. Second question, are you benefited by His love? How are you benefited by His love? By faith in Jesus Christ. And only by faith in Christ can you be benefited by His love. Now we have two more questions that I'll just briefly note. I'm thinking about making this a special series. How much do you love God? How much do you love God? And second question, Is God benefited by your love? How much do you love God? That's what I want to close you thinking about this morning, celebrating the resurrection. That's how much He loves you. How much do you love Him? Obviously, this could take months' study. Simply stated, do you love Him enough to completely submit your life to His plan, His Word? Do you love Him enough to live your life to glorify Him? See, in a very base human way, we make this decision as adults often. Ladies, and we're the responders, so we're delegates. Do you love this man enough? How do you love him? Do you love him enough to put aside any other man on earth, your own glory, your own promotion, your own whatever, and love this man and follow him, uphold him, submit to him? Do you love him that much? If you don't, then don't marry. You benefit. How much do you love him? See? Do you love him enough to live your life for him? This is a tough one. This is personal. I'm closing the study of resurrection on a very personal note. How much do you love him? Oh, it's wonderful how much he loved you. But how much do you love him? How much do you love him? First, be sure that you understand that God does not want love from your flesh nature. This is going to be a little difficult. God doesn't want the love of our flesh nature. It's corrupt. It's sick. It's incurably sick. It's insane. So how are we going to love him? That's why God, at the point of salvation, one of the 34 things he did for you was he gave you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, why did he do that? It wasn't done in the Old Testament. Why did God give you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Two primary reasons. One, to seal you. You cannot lose your salvation. You cannot lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's yours permanently, forever. It's yours. But also for your experiential life on earth, your daily life, in your work, in your home, in your life, daily life. See? And the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 is love, spiritual love. That's the love that God is looking for. One of the fruit of the Spirit is spiritual love. How does He pour that love in you? When you walk with Him. How do you walk with Him? By faith. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you fill with the Holy Spirit? By faith. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. How do you keep in step with the Holy Spirit? By faith. And then when that love is poured into you, you love God. Do you love Him enough to love Him with the love He's given you? You sin. When you sin, you're temporarily spiritually dead. Not positionally, but temporarily. You're just like you were when you were an unbeliever. And we saw very clearly, as an unbeliever, nothing we could do. Nothing. Not confession, not anything could restore us back with God. It had to be faith. Same thing with restoration from sin. We're in darkness. Got to realize where you are when you sin. That's one of the problems that people teach, that you can do something while you're in sin to regain the filling of the Spirit. You can't. It's by faith in the Holy Spirit. He regenerates you back into His power, into fellowship with God. And that brings us to the last question. Is God benefited by your love? I know. You probably have never thought about that. Never been asked that. Is God benefited by your love? I'm sorry to say many people say they believe in Christ, they're saved, and they love God. Oh, they love God. But God's not benefited by their love. They live a life trend that is an abomination to Him. How can He be benefited by the love of a believer whose life is an abomination? We saw on Wednesday night, this coronavirus is a wake-up call, people. And let me tell you something. You don't want the wrath of God. Take my word for it. He's tough. Is God benefited by your love? For an example, a husband insists he loves his wife. A woman insists she loves her husband. And they have adulterous affairs. There was someone else. Their husband and wife is not benefited by their love. Not benefited at all. In fact, they're humiliated by it. See? That's a slap in the face. Someone says they love God, but they do not want to study His Word. How can you love someone? People, when you love someone, you want to know all you can about them. You can't get enough of them. I want to study His Word. I want to grow in His Word. I want to increase in the knowledge of God. I want to increase in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Savior. I want to learn all I can about Him so that when I see Him, I don't meet a stranger. That's when you love somebody, when you want to be with them. Their love for God. Does your love for God benefit God? Does it glorify God? Do people look at your love and say, wow, how can you love like that? How can you be so different? What's your secret? My secret is God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, my love for Christ. Does your love glorify God? Or does it glorify you? You live in this lifestyle, an abomination to Him. How's that glorifying to God? That's not glorifying to God. Our satisfaction doesn't glorify God. The satisfaction of our flesh nature does not glorify God. Does it benefit God on earth? You cannot love God and the world at the same time. You cannot love God and sin at the same time. You can't do it. So, our challenge this Resurrection Sunday, how much does God love you? Are you benefited by His love? How much do you love God? Is God benefited by your love? Think about those questions. We're going to close this morning taking communion. Take communion with each other. I hope you have a little cup, a cracker or something, and we're going to spend time in a communion. Now, worship includes music, so we're going to have some music as we prepare for the communion.
Is love. sinners to show what he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me.
Communion is the one ritual that God gave the world, the church, believers. It's sort of a come home. At our church, we like to do the communion, recognize it once a month, the first Sunday of each month. Now, some churches do it every time they meet. That's not right. That's not wrong. Some do it once a month. Some do it once a week. Not right or wrong. There's no rules in the Bible how often. Just when you do it, there are certain things, but not how often. We do it once a month, and I like to do it the first Sunday of the month. It sort of sets the pace for the whole month. Now, this is the second Sunday. We should have done it last Sunday, but this Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, so we do it now. But it kind of gets people really for the whole month. Just to recall how I came to Jesus Christ by faith. He saved me. He gave my life meaning and purpose. That's how I want to live this month. I want God to be benefited by my love. That's what the communion service is. So as you sit with your bread and your cup, I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians, Paul's writing, chapter 11. For I, Paul, received from the Lord, now he did, after his conversion on the road to Damascus, he went to Sinai Desert, Christ came there, and for 3 years, Paul got a seminary course from one professor, Jesus Christ. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. So you have a cracker, that's your bread. Why no meat? Because people, the Passover's over. The Passover lamb has been slaughtered. Christ has been crucified. You don't crucify him over and over and over. Bread is nourishment. You haven't eaten all day, you eat bread. It's nourishment. So that's why bread. So Christ took the bread. When he'd given thanks, now think about that. What's he given thanks for? The bread represents the crucifixion of Christ. The bread represents God becoming man, and man being the servant of man, dying on the cross. He broke it. That's the cross. That's what we studied in the Isaiah passage. Smitten, stricken, crushed. That's what the breaking. And he gave thanks for it. He gave thanks that he could die for us. He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Blood is the spiritual death on the cross. So that, do this, as often as you drink it, doesn't say how often, but as often as you do drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Let us have fellowship together as we have fellowship with him. I've enjoyed celebrating Resurrection Sunday with you. I hope our four questions have penetrated your soul. Maybe you hadn't thought of it that way. How much does God love you? Are you benefited by his love? How much do you love him? Is he benefited by your love? Let's close in prayer. We'll see you Wednesday night in our study of Ezekiel. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We humbly, on our knees, thank you that you sent your Son. You gave your Son for our salvation. You raised him for our justification. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that your love is so wonderful. Father, we want to be benefited by it, not only as unbelievers as believing in Christ, but we want to be benefited by your love as believers. We want to be benefited by your love every day of our lives. We don't want to live in sin, have sin scar it, mess it up. We want to be benefited by your love every day. We praise you, Father. Pray your Spirit to use the things we studied this morning to the honor and glory of our Savior. In his precious name I pray. Amen.